really good question today, and that is, how are we supposed to have a relationship with a non-physical, metaphysical being? We can only think in our limited human terms. Or somebody else worded it a little differently, how can I come closer to Hashem? Really, really good questions. And I'm sure all of you and myself, we would all like to come closer to Hashem. And the truth is, I heard that once from Rav Shlomo Aviner, that there are three ways of coming closer to Hashem. Number one is the more primitive way. As we've said in the past, the individual is constantly growing, mankind is constantly maturing, and primitive man, how did he get mixed up in Avodah Zarah, is that he wanted an emotional, tangible relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what they did in the temples of paganism, where there was a lot of music, there was a lot of gold and silver and wine and a lot of physical, giruim, stimulation. And when a person really looked forward to going to the paganist temple, and he really enjoyed it, and afterwards he looks back fondly, and the emotional, even when we have lahavdil, a million havdalot, we can and want to have an emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be through singing. It could be through seeing a beautiful sunset. It could be davening at a Shlomo Karl Bach Minyan. And it really is one of the real ways of getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The problem is, really two problems. Problem number one is that it's so tangible that Avodah Zarah could also theoretically be a great experience. Sometimes if a person would go to, I'm sure nobody here would go to a discotheque, and you sing and you dance and you have a great time, you might also have a similar feeling of an emotional high that comes out of it. And that could be confusing, right? How godly was that tefillah, right? How religious was that tefillah? Or was it, it's very easy to confuse it with other emotional experiences. Okay, so that's the problem with our emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is very real, right? When we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we talk to Hashem, we cry to Hashem, and that's what we feel on Yom Kippur, and you have a really good tefillah, or you're davening Chas V'Shalom for somebody who's sick. And it is a way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's not put it down. Nevertheless, that was problem number one. Problem number one is that it's sort of primitive, and it's very easy to mistake for other emotional experiences. During the 1960s, a lot of Jewish youth were getting confused with different cults and with drugs and with a hippie movement and with the civil rights movement. And Rav Shlomo Karlbach, that's where he took off, and Baruch Hashem, he succeeded in bringing some Jews back to Judaism, but that's a problem, that, again, it's not 100% God. Another problem, and is that it's not always available, right? Emotion has ups and downs. And sometimes you feel like it, and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you see a very inspiring sunset or sunrise, and sometimes you don't. And we would like a more constant kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So way number one is through the regesh, through the emotion, which has its advantages and also has its disadvantages. Okay? Way number two to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not through the heart, but through the mind. Not through the regesh, but through the seichel. Right? And the advantage of logic is that it is more consistent. Right? Logic, what was true yesterday, is true today, is going to be true in 1,000 years from now. Right? And I imagine all of you have come out of a good shiur in emunah, in hashkafa. I hope it was with me. But all of you have had that feeling when you come out of a shiur and you say, wow. I know I have that feeling very often when I come out of learning Rav Kook. And you say, wow, I really connect with Torah. And that's an intellectual connection. And I hope all of you have had that a lot during your year in Midrasha. And I hope you continue having it a lot over Zoom. By the way, I'm curious. Can you feel through a Zoom shiur a great intellectual connection with Torah? No comment. No. I see some smiles. Does that mean laughter?
I think it's definitely harder. I don't think it's necessarily impossible, but I think it's extremely hard.
Okay. So through Zoom, we lose a lot of the advantage of the intellectual. Because if the advantage of the intellectual is that it is available, it's always, look at all these books that I have in the back, right? And just take one down, or you find a book that really speaks to you. It could be Maharal, it could be Kuzari, it could be Rav Kook. And have a chevruta today on the internet, 24/6, without Shabbat. You can go in to any, even if at 2 o'clock in the morning and you can't sleep at night, you can go and find a shiur and emunah through a rav, through a sefer, which turns you on intellectually to connect with Torah. Right, so you'll see the advantage of the intellectual connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the shortcoming of the intellectual connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right, the advantage is you see that it doesn't have the disadvantages of the regesh, of the emotion. Right, whereas emotion has its ups and downs. Here it's more constant. The emotion sometimes could be mistaken for other cults or other emotions. And here, if you're learning Rambam, you're learning Rav Kook, right? You know what you're learning, that it is Torah. What is the problem with the intellectual connection with God? Sometimes it is yavesh. Sometimes it's dry, right? When you learn Moren Vuchim, you learn the guide for the perplexed. You can intellectually connect with Torah and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you don't have the same excitement as you have through the emotional approach, right? And if so, there must be a better way, something which doesn't have the problems of the emotion, doesn't have the problems of the intellect, and that is something which is uniquely Jewish. And this is something which Rav Kook stresses a lot, because if we looked at the emotional connection to Hashem, that is found also by the Goyim. The intellectual connection, the second approach, with Torah, that's a lot more Jewish. The third way is 100% Jewish. And that is to be like God. To be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come close to Hashem, by being like Hashem. The Chazal say Masechet Sanhedrin that what is Devekut? Devekut, you all know, is from the word Devek. Lidabek is to cling, to be connected, to stick to God. So Chazal say that Hashem is Karov mikol Karov, Verachok mikol Rachok. HaKadosh Baruch Hu we can really connect with Hashem because He is closer than anything. Hashem is so close, He is inside of me. And when I get in touch with my godly neshama, when I act godly, anybody remember how to say that in Latin?
Imitatio Dei.
Exactly. Imitatio Dei is what we've spoken about before. When I am in touch with my godly self, I am so close to God, and I feel good, because we also have a godly conscience, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, that we get turned on, also emotionally, also intellectually, when we are moral, when we act good, when we are godly, when we are rachum, chanun, erech hapayim v'rav chesed. And this is the third approach, which again is unique to Am Yisrael, that says that, I get these questions on the internet. If you're ever bored, you can Google question answer Ari Shvat on the Yeshiva Beit El website. And, someone's trying to get in. There we go. Okay. Oh, it's Bella. Oh. This is our guest. She has a very Zionist picture there. Hi. I'd introduce you to all the girls, but we're already started this year, so we could do official introductions afterwards. Vicky Tsur, and we're talking about how to come close to Hashem. Maybe I'll just tell a story. We mentioned, in addition to the emotional way and the intellectual way, I once had to sell a car. And I don't like wasting time selling cars because it takes a long time. So what I usually do is I just push it off and push it off until it's not worth anything. And then it's difficult to sell. So I looked up, you have these books and they say how much a car is worth. So I saw that it was worth 10,000 shekel. And I advertised it. I could not find anybody who was willing to pay me 10,000 shekel, not even 9. But Kitzur, one day an Arab calls me up and he says, I'll give you 7,000 shekel. I said, no, what do you mean? This car is worth 10. He said, I work in a garage. That car, you're not going to get worth more than 7. Make a long story short, I tell him, listen, I don't know you from Adam. I'll meet you at the bank where you do the havarat ba'alut, the transfer of ownership. But please bring the money in cash because, give me a check. I don't know if you have money in the account. I don't know you. So he says, fine. We'll bring 7,000 shekel in cash. He brings the money in cash, and we do fill out all the forms. And I say to the bank teller, thank you very much. And she says, wait, you have to pay 70 shekel for the service. So I turn to the Arab and I say, okay, we'll do 50-50. I'll pay 35. You pay 35. He says, Lo nishar li bruta. Arabs can't say the letter pay, so they say bet. He said, I don't have even a penny. So I just wanted to get rid of the car. I said, okay, I'll pay the 70 shekel. And I gave the teller 7,000 shekel in cash. And I said, listen, I'm not used to having so much money in cash. Can you please just check it to make sure it's not counterfeit? She takes a look at it. No, it's not counterfeit. So I say, okay, I give her the 70 shekel. And she takes one of the two 10 shekel coins that I gave her. And she throws it back at me. She says, this is counterfeit. You gave me counterfeit money. So I said, obviously, I didn't mint it. I got it as change somewhere. So she says, yeah, but I can't accept it. I asked her, how do you know it's counterfeit? So she takes, there were two 10 shekel coins, and I compare them, and I see that there are small differences. And she says, yeah, it's close, but it's not real. Now, why do I tell you this story? What did she mean when she says, it's close? the counterfeit coin is close. She means to say it's similar. Do you all see that? If in monotheism our God does not have a body, so I have a problem getting close. In Avodah Zarah, if this computer is God, and I want to get close to God, I'll just get closer, 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 until I can kiss the computer. But if God doesn't have a body, how can I come close to Hashem? Judaism says to be similar is to be close. Do you all see that? The coin is similar as it can get. That is as close as you can get. And let's see it together inside in source number 4, where Shlomo HaMelech is told by David HaMelech how to come close to Hashem. Source number 4, Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Perek Kavchet, Pasuk Tet. Ve'ata Shlomo Bni, Da et Elohei Avicha. You, Shlomo, my son, know the God of your father. Ve'avdehu b'lev shalem, and serve him with a total, complete heart, u'benefesh chavetza, with a lot of motivation. Chevra, we all would like to be motivated in serving Hashem. We all would love to love Hashem. And what's the secret? Da et Elokei Avicha. Now, we also know that the word da in Hebrew is also le'ehov. It's not just to know God. It is to love God, right? You remember the pasuk, Ve'ha'adam yada et chava ishto, vatar vateled ben. Right? Adam knew Eve, and she became pregnant and had a son. What does that mean, Adam knew Eve? He loved her. And when David is telling Shlomo, Da et Elokei Avicha, I think it's David who's talking here, look it up, know the God of your father. He's telling him the way to love God is by knowing him. Now here we have a problem. Because this is, we mentioned before, that approach number 2 to come close to God is the intellectual. And we said the problem with the intellectual is that it's cold. It's not warm. Like the emotion. But here we come across problem number 2. We usually cannot understand Hashem, right? How can we understand God? If the way to loving God and to having motivation and mitzvot is by knowing God, we can't know God. As a matter of fact, let's look at Sefer HaYikarim, Rav Yosef Albo, Ma'amar Bet, Piska Lamed. He writes, Ilu yida'ativ hayitiv. If I would know God, I would be God. Klomar ki ein chai shiyasig atzmuto. No living being can understand Hashem. Ela hu yidbarach. Only Hashem can understand Hashem. And if so, what are we supposed to do? The answer is, Rav Yosef Albo is very clear in his lashon. He says, ki ein chai shiyasig atzmuto. We cannot understand the essence of God. But there is a second aspect of God, and that is what we can know. We can know Hashem's midot. We can know Hashem's character traits. And then when we emulate them, imitatio dei, right? That is the tselem Elokim that we spoke about. Tselem, I see some of you remember it. Tselem Elokim is litzalem et Elokim, to take a photograph as if it were, to be in the image of God, to be like God. And if so, that is how we can know God, and we can love God, and also be close to Hashem, and also have motivation. Now, how is this done? Let's look quickly together, running out of time. In source number 8, Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Bet, Ve'ata Yisrael, Hashem is telling us, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shuel Mi'imach, What does Hashem want of us? Obviously, he's perfect. He doesn't need anything. So he's talking for our benefit. What does he want? What does our loving Father want for us that we should benefit? Kim liyirat Hashem Elokecha lalechet bechol derachav, to go in all of his ways. To be like God. You know, somebody once asked me once, this guy is a little Chabadnik. So he asked me once Shabbat morning after davening. He says to me, Rabbi, can you help us with a question? We were discussing at the Shabbos table last night. Why do we do mitzvot? Do we do mitzvot, I thought, to bring Mashiach? Somebody else, his wife, his, one of his children, says it's to get Olam Haba. A third opinion was to get into Tchiyat HaMitim. What is the real reason? Which of the three? I answered him, I'm sorry, but D, none of the above. Why do we do mitzvot? Not to get into Olam Haba, not to bring the Geula, not to get Tchiyat HaMitim. Those are all natural ramifications that are going to come out of being godly. The reason why we do the mitzvot is to be godly. And we spoke about this once. The very first mitzvah in the Torah, anybody remember? First mitzvah in the Torah, pru urvu, right? Have children. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just finished creating the world. So he tells Adam and Chava, just like I created the world, you create worlds. Have children. Every child that you have, you are being godly. You are creating worlds. Do you all see that? The same thing when Hashem told Adam of the seventh day. Shabbat uvayom hashvi'i shabbat v'inafash. Hashem rests on the seventh day. Now, if I want to be godly, then I should also rest on the seventh day. And this is connected with what we discussed once, if you remember, at the beginning of the year. Who is the real me? The real me is not my body. Because my body, if my hair gets gray, or I lose my hair, does that mean I'm less me? Or if I gain weight, I am more me? Obviously, my body is not the real me. The real me is my neshama, my tzelem Elokim, my godliness, my spark of God that can be godly. And that is why when we do the mitzvot, when we return lost objects, when we are altruistic, and also when we put on tefillin, and also when we wear tzitzit, the Torah is the handbook how to be godly. Now this is very obvious in mitzvot ben adam lechavero, right? To be altruistic, to be good, like God is altruistic, God is good. If you learn tamei mitzvot in Sefer HaChinuch, or in Moreh Nevuchim, or in Kabbalah, especially in Kabbalah, they talk about how the more you understand the mitzvah, the more you understand how wearing tzitzit, how wearing tefillin, how hearing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, how that makes me more godly, just like resting on Shabbat makes me more godly. Chazal tells us in Masechet Brachot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. You remember that? Now, we don't have time to get into what does that mean, God wears tefillin. But if I want to be godly, and that is how I connect to God, how I connect also to myself, and how I connect to my godly self, the realest way is not to look for Mr. Yudke Vavke up in the heavens. Because that we saw a minute ago, 3 minutes ago, that we don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of understanding Mr. Yudke Vavke. Right? That is imi da'ativ ha'itiv. If I could understand God, I would be God. That we can't do. We can't understand. So if so, what is the other choice? The other choice is to know God's midot, and then to copy them. And that's what we see in source number 11. You all remember the Shlosh Esrei Midot, that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are you? But sometimes we forget the background. What's going on? Am Yisrael just sinned in Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. Hashem forgives us. And then Moshe Rabbeinu sees that Hashem is in a good mood, and he says, V'ata im na matzati chen beinecha, source 11, Shmot, Perek Lamed Gimel, hodieni na drachecha. If I found favor in your eyes, Hashem, please show me your ways, ve'eda'acha, so that I will know you, lima'an emtza chen beinecha, so that I can find favor in your eyes. Show me your ways. Hashem answers him, what are the ways of God? Skip down to Pasuk Vav. Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra, Hashem Hashem, kel rachum, v'chanun, erech apayim, rav chesed, v'emet, noter chesed lalafim, etc., etc. When we are merciful, we're kind, we're just, that is how we are godly, and that is the best way to connect to God, because it's doable. Because we are connecting with our godly self. You all with me? Any questions till now? You all with me? Let me give you an example just to show how unique and how important this approach is. Usually when we daven and we think of what is Pesukei de Zimra? Hashem is good, Hashem is great, Hashem is good, Hashem is great, Hashem is good, Hashem is great. From now on, we should also stop and notice, what does it mean, not just Hashem is good, He is Sumech Noflim, Rofech Cholim, Matir Asurim. Hashem picks up he who is down. If I want to be godly, I have to ask myself, how can I take the Siddur and these great praises that I'm praising God and be like them and be godly? Because, again, Hashem, like we always said, does not need our praise. He's perfect. If so, the praise is for us. What is the praise for? So, number one, in the emotional approach, yeah, it gets us into the mindset of emotion. But here also, in the third approach, the approach of being close to God, by being God, when I say that God is Somech Noflim, and I see somebody who's upset, and I ask them, how are you? You want to talk? That is how I pick up somebody who has fallen. That is Somech Noflim. I'm being godly. The same thing, I don't know if I ever told you, in my midrasha, I was a head of a midrasha for 20 years. The only things which were chovah, which were obligatory, was A, to learn Shmirat HaLashon. Every day, everybody had to learn 15 minutes of the laws of Lashon Hara. And number two, once a year, we had a course in CPR. We brought in Magen David Adom. And, you know, CPR, what does it stand for in English? Something pulmonary. You know, in other words, emergency first aid. And if we say every day in Shmona Asrei, Hashem is Rofe Cholim, that means that if I don't know the Heimlich hold, know the Heimlich hold? If you see somebody choking, right, you grab them around the waist and you do an upthrust. If you don't know the Heimlich hold, you are obligated after this year for homework to YouTube, Google Heimlich hold, Heimlich maneuver, it's called. And that way you can be Rofe Cholim, to be godly. Okay? I'll give you another example. Every Friday night, we say Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim. Every day in Davening, we say Ani Hashem Lokechem Asher Otzeti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim. Every Pesach, Shavuot, this week, we're going to say Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim. Right? Why does Hashem want us to remember all the time that He took us out of Egypt? He took us out of Egypt. Chaver, can somebody think of a way that I could take Jews out of bondage? I'll give you an example. How a person can be godly by taking Jews out of bondage. Somebody once asked me a question. The guy was learning 2 years in yeshiva, and he was enjoying it very much. And he went for his physical exam to the army, and he was planning on pushing it off for another year to learn a third year in yeshiva. And he gets a letter from the army inviting him to Sayeret Matkal. That is the top commando unit in the Israeli army. Those are the guys who went to Entebbe. You all remember the story of Entebbe. And they freed 103 hostages with only one casualty. It is a very big compliment to be invited to the Sayeret Matkal. And even if you're invited, most people are not accepted in the end. But this guy, you have to be very intelligent, very athletic, very quick. You have to be very everything. You have to be, if you're going out with a guy who tells you he was in Sayeret Matkal, you should know that he is extremely, extremely talented in just about everything. And so he asked me, what should he do? Should he spend another year in yeshiva? Or should he go to this special commando unit? So I said, obviously, it's your decision. Every person has to serve Hashem. Both are huge mitzvot. I told him I'm jealous, you know, that he was invited to this elite unit. And he asked me, what would I do? So I told him that basically this is the question between, is Judaism a religion or is it about being godly? Because if Judaism were a religion, then I would say learn Torah is, for sure, the highest level, except for speaking to Hashem. On the other hand, I told him that if you're invited to this elite commando unit, which frees the hostages, you remember Gilad Shalit when he was being held hostage? Or Nachshon Waxman, who was also a famous soldier, who was held hostage. These are the guys who can take Jews out of Egypt. And when I say Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim, it's not just Hashem, thank you for taking me out of Egypt. It's not just emotional. It's not just intellectual. But also, if I see an opportunity that I can take a Jew and take him out of bondage by joining this commando unit and flying to Entebbe to free Jews who are being held captive, then I have an obligation to do so and to be godly. By the way, I'll give you another example. Do you people remember Jonathan Pollard? Jonathan Pollard was a Jew who served in the intelligence in the American Navy. And, I see our time is running out. We'll finish quickly. Jonathan Pollard saw information that intelligence information that should be passed on to Israel. To make a long story short, he had to decide, is he more Jewish or is he more American? And he gave the information over to Israel, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment. Now, most spies serve 5 years in jail, 10 years in jail. But as Alan Dershowitz, the famous Jewish lawyer, wrote, the United States wanted to make an example out of Pollard by showing what happens to a Jew if he feels closer to Israel than to America. And they sentenced him to life imprisonment that he should never see the light of day. Here also, when I was the head of a midrasha, every year we took off, don't need a lot of time, took off a minute, not a minute, 10 minutes, and I asked all the students to write letters to President Obama to ask him to free Jonathan Pollard. Why is that an obligation? Because Hashem took us out of Egypt, and when I free another Jew, I am being godly. Let's look together in source number 6. This is a good example. You know what? Before we see source 6, let us see together. Where's the Rambam? Source 13. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, Chelek Aleph, Perek Nun Dalid, he writes as follows. Ki tachlit ma'alat ha'adam. The highest level that a person can achieve, ha'hidamut bo yidbarach, it is to be like God. Kifi ha'yecholot, as much as you can. And again, like we said, that is the best way to become close to God, is to come close to your godly neshama, to your tzelem elokim, to copy God, by being your godly self, by following the Taryag Mitzvot. You all know that the Rambam is Mr. Rational, right? Let's also see a Kabbalistic approach, which tells us the exact same thing. Let's look together in Source 16, where Rav Kook tells us in Musar Avicha, in the Midah of Dvekut, again, that's our topic, how to cleave to God, how to get close to God. Milamedet yilanu achochma elohit et amidot, et asfirot elohiot, kedei ladat shebemidotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu anu tzrichin lidabek. The whole idea of the 10 sfirot, and of the midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you all know the 10 sfirot, we spoke about this, right? All the Kabbalah is based on Keter, Chochma, Bina, Gedula, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut, right? These are the 10 Kabbalistic attributes, like the 13 attributes of God in the Torah, in Parshat Ki Tisa that we just read. The 10 attributes of Hashem in Kabbalah, what are they for? Kidei Lada'at, so that we should know, Shebimidotav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anu Tzrichim Lidabek. These are the traits of Hashem that we need to emulate. This is how to be godly. This is how to imitati odei. Piskabet, im einanu makirim, shekol ikara tzorech litalmudam shel Hashemot. Why do we learn the names of God? You all know that Hashem, as they say, 70 names, there are a lot more. What are his names? Elohim, as he is a judge. That means I should be justice. Rachum, so I should be merciful. It's Tzedek, is the nickname of God. So I should also love justice, righteousness, charity, right? All of these things, all of the Bikitsur, you got a treat today, because Rav Kook is telling us that we just learned all of Kabbalah in a nutshell. What is the nutshell? To be godly. So we see also the rational Rambam and also the Kabbalistic Zohar, they both lead us in the same direction, that the whole idea of Judaism is to be godly. Let's see quickly the most difficult word, I think, in all of the Torah. Let's see in source number 6. Breshit Perek Yudchet. There's a big machloket how to explain this one word. You all remember the beginning of Parshat Vayera. Vayera elav Hashem be'elonei mamre, v'u yoshe petach ha'oel kechom hayom. Breshit Perek Yudchet. Avram Avinu is sitting outside his tent. You remember what just happened at the end of Parshat Lech Lecha? Anybody remember? Avram Avinu just did Brit Milah. So Hashem does him a favor, makes the day very hot, so that guests don't come to trouble Avram Avinu. Hashem wants him to rest. So it says Hashem came to Avram Avinu. Rashi says he came to be Mevaker Cholim. He came to visit the sick. Vayisayna vayar v'inesh lo sha'anashim. And Avram lifts up his eyes and he sees three men. Three Bedouins, nitzavim ala vayar vayarot likratam mipetach ha'oel vayishtachu arza. He sees these Bedouins approaching his tent, and he bows down, and he wants to invite them in. But he says, Vayomer, Vayomar, Adonai. Im na matzati chen be'inecha, al na tavor me'al avdecha. He says, if I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass by. Now, who is Avraham addressing? It says, Vayomer Adonai. What are the two possibilities to translate the word Adonai? At least one, you know. How would you translate Adonai? God. Right? What is the other way, possible way of translating Adonai? Ha'adonim sheli. My masters. In plural. Oh. Okay. My masters in plural. So, it really, if you say that Avram is addressing the angels, who, again, he thinks are Bedouins, so that, how would we translate the Basuk? Vayomer Adonai, Avram is telling the three angels, because he's talking in plural, Im na matzati chen be'inecha, if I have found favor in your eyes, al na tavor mi'al avdecha, please don't pass by my tent without coming in. In other words, Avraham is inviting the angels in. That's the first commentary. What's the problem with that? Trevor, look at the pasuk. What's the problem? Didactically, it doesn't work. Because if he is talking to the rabbim, to the angels, and he's saying, my masters, why does he then revert to yachid? To singular. Im na matzati chen be'enecha. What should he say? Be'enechem. Al na tavor mi'al avdecha. He should say, al na tavor mi'al avdechem. You all with me? You all see the problem here? So if we say that Avram is addressing the angels, we have a grammatical problem. It doesn't make sense. What's the other option? That is talking to God. Vayomer Adonai. He's telling Hashem. And here we have a philosophical problem. Not a grammatical problem. He says, Im na matzati chen be'inecha Hashem. If I found favor in your eyes, God, al na tavor mi'al avdecha. Please do not leave me as I go serve the guests. In other words, Avram is putting a Kadosh Baruch Hu on hold. Or in modern Hebrew, anybody ever see this one in Israel? If somebody tells you. You ever see that? What does that mean? Hold on. Patience. Now, we don't like when people put us on hold. We don't like when people go like that. So why does Avram Avinu put God on hold? Do you know, if God would have ever appeared to me, you all would have known about it, right? That would have been the highlight of my life, to speak to God. And here Hashem appears to Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu, instead of talking to God, instead of listening to God, he puts Hashem on hold. Do you all understand the philosophical problem? By the way, there's a nafkamina. What's the practical difference between the first opinion and the second opinion? A sofer stam, when he writes Shem Hashem, he's not allowed to erase it if he made a mistake. So is this God's name that you're not allowed to erase? Or is Avram talking my masters to the angels? And if a sofer makes a mistake, he can erase that word. You all with me? Do you all see the difference? The halacha is, psak in the Shulchan Aruch, this is God's name. And he is talking to Hashem. And if so, can somebody tell me, based on what we've seen till now, how in the world can Avram Avinu, as put Hashem on hold. How can Avram tell God, God, can you please wait? I have to serve my guests. Rivki, I see your hand is on the button.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I don't think it's necessarily putting him on hold because he is trying to emulate God's actions exactly, which is putting him on hold, if anything, is making him closer to God.
Exactly. Yafeh. In other words, this is what Chazal say in Masechet Shabbat, Gadola Hachnasat Orchim Mikabalat Pnei Ashchina, that when you host your guests, that's even greater than talking to God. Because when we talk to God, that is a great religious experience. But even greater than being religious is to be godly. And just like Hashem came to visit Avram Avinu because he was sick, he just had the Brit Milah, Avram Avinu sees these three Bedouins and he says, hey, I have an opportunity to be godly. And that is how to get really close to Hashem. Because even when, if you're having a nevuah, it comes and it goes. But to be godly, that's from the first thing that you do in the morning till the last thing that you do at night. That is the epitome of Judaism. It's the epitome of rational Judaism. It's the epitome of Kabbalistic Judaism. And also psychologically, it is the epitome of me. To be myself, to be my neshama, to be my godly self. And by doing the mitzvot again, our goal is not to get into Olam Haba. It's not in order to get into Tchiyat HaMetim. It's not in order to bring Mashiach. The goal of the mitzvot is what? To be godly, imitati Odei, to copy Hashem. And the more you learn of Ta'amei HaMitzvot, the more you will understand how this mitzvah makes you more godly, this mitzvah makes you more godly. From now on, when you look in the Sidur, and you read, you know, we'll finish off, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, let's look in Source 10, says it beautifully. You all know Anim Zmirot? Even if you come late to Shul, you catch Anim Zmirot. Dimu otcha v'lo kefi yashcha, v'yishavucha lefi ma'asecha. We liken God, but not according to his essence, not according to his yesh. Vayishavucha lefi ma'asecha. We understand God according to his actions. Again, what is Shlomo HaMelech supposed to do in order to love God? Da et Elokei Avicha. Know God, and by knowing God, you will love God, and you will have connect to God, and you will have motivation to do the mitzvot. How can we know God? If I would know God, I would be God. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is telling us, again, you're right. You cannot know the essence of Mr. Yudke Vavke, but you can know his actions in order to emulate them to be godly. To summarize, there are three approaches to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The emotional approach, which has its advantages and disadvantages. The intellectual approach, which has its advantages and disadvantages. And then there is the totally unique approach of Am Yisrael and Torah Yisrael, and that is, you be godly. We have unbelievable potential. And that is really how, on a regular basis, we can have an emotional connection to God. We feel good, and our conscience feels good, and we intellectually understand the mitzvot. And you really get all three when you are godly.